Glad you're here this morning. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read a psalm, Psalm 139, starting with verse 4. We'll read through verse 7. It says, "Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that we get a chance to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord. We pray, God, that today that you would help us to hear you, help us to look past maybe things that are going on in our lives, problems, headaches, pain, suffering, whatever it may be, Lord, that we ask that you would just quiet our soul this morning to hear from you, God, that you speak to us, God, words of life, and that we would respond. Father, I thank you for being able to pastor and preach this church at this church. Lord, I thank you for Living Water, and I thank you for the people here, and I ask that you would bless them in a special way. I ask that you'd help me to be a plain preacher today. Help me to preach so plain that a child could understand. For it's in Jesus' name that I preach. His name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. When we think about Easter, when I think about Easter, I think, what does Easter mean? What is Easter about? And I gave you some Easter cards to hand out to some folks, and hopefully you invited some friends to come out with you. And it had a little, had the outline of the message, whether you realized it or not, right there. And so we thought about, what is Easter about? What's the story? What is it? It's a story of something. And what do you think about these letters? Didn't Anita do a good job putting this together? And thank you. It's a story of something. What is it? It's a story. I think of Easter, I think, well, it's a story. It's a story of hope. It's a story of hope. So we'll put that right there. As we think about a story of hope, then I challenge you to look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. It says, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet." Go on to the next slide, please. Thank you. "Behold my servant in whom I have chosen. Behold in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory." Verse 21. "And his in whose name?" His name, who's his? Jesus. "In his name, the Gentiles will do what? Hope." I don't know where you're at in the story of your life, but I don't know if you feel like it's chaotic. I don't know if you feel like it's spinning out of control. I don't know if you turn on the TV and you watch the news and you hear all the stuff that's going on and you think, what is going on in our chaotic world? Is there any hope? Some of you may get news. You go into a doctor's office and you think you're healthy and nothing, there's no problems. And then you go in and the doctor sets you down and says, "I've got some bad news." And your whole world just changes. Maybe your boss calls you into the office and they have to say, "You know, we're cutting back. Things are getting tight. And, you know, we're going to have to lay you off." And then your whole world crumbles. Or someone walks into your life and says, "You know, I just can't handle the pressures anymore. I'm out." And your whole world crumbles. And there's all kinds of scenarios. There's all kinds of things about life. And you're going through things that probably no one knows about. And maybe a few people know about. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know that there's a lot of chaos just being alive. And sometimes it can seem hopeless. Sometimes you can seem helpless. And so when I think of Easter and I think, well, what kind of great things can we talk about? I think of the word hope, and I think that Jesus brings hope. He brings life. He brings purpose. He brings meaning. He gives us a hope that this life is not all there is. This life, it has valleys. It has peaks and valleys. There's good times and bad times. How many of y'all can think about your life and you can think, man, there's been some really great moments in my life. Could you raise your hand? There's some really great moments, okay? We all love those moments, don't we? We think, man, aren't those great? How many of y'all can say, man, there's been some really low moments in my life? Raise your hand. See, okay. Every one of us, you've had high moments, you've had low moments. That's life. And Jesus comes in and he says, I have got a message to bring to you about a kingdom that has no end. About a kingdom where your sins can be forgiven, where you can have eternal life, where you can be forgiven and set free, where the chains of sin does not have to bind you any longer, that you can be set free and that you can have hope that no matter what you go through, though you go through the valleys, he's right there with you. Though you have suffering, he's there with you. Though you have, seems like you have no hope, he comes alongside and says, I will bring something good out of this. The Bible says, God works all things together for good who love them and who are called according to his purpose. He doesn't say that all things in life are good, because we all know that's not true. There are some things in life that's not good, but he says, I can work all things for good for those of you who love me. You're called to my purpose. Do you trust Jesus today? Because I'm telling you, there's nothing in this world that you can get. You can't get it from a chocolate bunny. You can't get it from a Cadbury egg, though those are pretty good. You can only get it from Jesus. He alone brings hope that we need. He brings us hope that there can be sense out of this life. It's a story of hope because he says, you know, even in your most down, depressed state, I can bring you out. And I can give you a future. I think it's good news today that we can know that if we breathe our last breath today, that we can know for certain that we have eternal life. Because of Jesus. If something were happening to me, I don't wonder where I'm going to be. I know where I'm going to be. And that's not being arrogant. That's not trying to say, well, you know, how do you know that? Well, because the Bible says that whoever believes in the Lord will be saved. I like that word, will be. What about you? It doesn't say should be or could be or hope to be. It says will be. So I serve a God who gives me hope that is sure and steadfast, that I can take it to the bank, that if he has saved me, he has redeemed me, he has forgiven me, he set me free, that no matter what happens to me, if I die and I leave this world, I will be in the presence of Jesus forever and ever and ever. That's hope today. I hope you have that part of that story. And I think about Easter. What else does it, what other kind of story is it? It's a story of something else. It's a story of hope. And it's a story of triumph. It's a story of triumph. Think about it. It's a story of triumph. Now, I want to go through Jesus' life just for a moment. We'll look at Matthew chapter 21, and we'll start with verse 8. Matthew 21, verse 8, we'll read verses 8 and 9. It says, before we get there, let me get us to where we're going. Jesus came, he lived, and he ministered. He healed people. He opened up blind eyes. He made the lame walk. He reached out to the lepers and brought healing to them. And he went down to where people lived, and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And people were wondering, is this the Messiah? Is this the King? And there was a day, it was celebrated last week. We call it Palm Sunday. There was a day then when Jesus came in riding on a donkey. And people were looking for a Messiah, and they were looking for a king. And they thought, maybe Jesus is this king. And the king that they're hoping for and the king that they're looking for is another David. They're looking for another David. They're looking for a real king that has a literal kingdom that will wipe out the Roman Empire and make Israel once again the powerful nation that it was once. And so he's coming in and says, most of the crowd, they spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees, and they were spreading them in the road. And then in verse 9, it says, the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting. What were they shouting? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, that is a cry out to save us. Save us. Save us. Our salvation is here. Hosanna. And Jesus was coming through and people were shouting and singing praises to his name. And they were crying out to him. And they were, this was a great victory. This triumphal entry is what they call it. Jesus' triumphal entry. And he's riding in and people are shouting and praising. And that happened. And then things quickly turned there for a moment, didn't they? On Thursday, he was betrayed. He's betrayed by one of his followers, Judas. Someone who walked with him for 3 years, turned his back on Christ and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And some of you may be thinking, I can relate to that. I felt betrayed. Have anybody ever felt betrayed before? Like someone who was supposed to be looking out for you, they didn't. Someone who was supposed to be your friend, they weren't. Someone who was singing your praises at one moment and then was turning you in the next. This was Jesus. This is what he went through. And Thursday he's betrayed, and Friday he's tried Thursday in the evening and through the night, and on Friday he's crucified. Saturday seems like a tragedy. Doesn't seem like triumph, does it? Seems like a tragedy. Jesus, the one we're shouting Hosanna to at one moment, now is crucified on a cross. And he's placed in a tomb. And Saturday, nothing. Boy, it seems like tragedy. But then, that was Thursday that he was betrayed. And Friday, he was crucified. And Saturday, there was just nothing. It seemed like tragedy. But then, there's Sunday morning, and why we're here today. And that's called triumph, right? Because they went to the tomb and he wasn't there. And they were asking, and they went and they ran to the tomb. And Jesus on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," he said, "I have purchased salvation for all of those who will believe." They placed him in the tomb. They came back and they were looking for him. They said, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. For he has risen. Look at your neighbor and say, he has risen. Jesus has risen today. He is alive. Our God is not dead. He's alive. It is a story of hope, and it's a story of triumph. And we can shout that, and we need to applaud that. If we can applaud human singers and basketball players throwing things to the hoop, why can't we give Jesus a big shout out and a round of applause? Because he is our triumphant king. And Brock, I just skipped John 19 and Matthew 28. So we're going to go to John chapter 1. If you'll find John chapter 1, because not only is it a story of hope, and not only is it a story of triumph, man, it's a magnificent story of grace. It's a magnificent story of grace. Look at John chapter 1. We'll start with verse 14. It says, "And the Word," and the Word is Jesus here, "and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we saw what? His glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We'll talk about truth in a moment, but let's focus on the grace right now. John, this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, John testified about him. Who's the him? Jesus. And cried out saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." Now, John the Baptist, if you know your Bible, John the Baptist was born before Jesus. Well, how could he be before John the Baptist? Because right here, John's gospel is breaking down a foundational belief in Christianity that Jesus has always existed. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has always existed. Jesus didn't just come into being at his conception. He has eternally existed. In fact, the Bible says that he created everything that there is and that we can see and the things that we can't see, and that he created us and that we were created by him and for him. And so John the Baptist is heralding this man named Jesus, and he says he's greater than I am. Verse 16, "For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon what grace? For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through who? Jesus Christ." The Jews were banking on the law. The Jews were banking on Moses. The Jews put their hope in Moses. But what they forgot and what they couldn't understand or see is that Moses was talking about who? Jesus. And one encounter, this is not on the verses up there on the screen, but one encounter, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and in John 5:45, he says, "Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, and in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" He said, you all are hoping in the wrong thing. Our hope is in Jesus, who is a triumphant king who brings grace to those who believe. Let's look at what else at the bottom of that says. "No one has seen God at any time," verse 18, John 1. "The only begotten of God, only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has what? He has explained him." Who explains the Father? Jesus. He has revealed him to us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Now look at what it says here. "He," God the Father, "made him," God the Son, "who knew no sin, to be" what? On whose behalf? Our behalf. "So that we might become the righteousness of God in" who? In him. And who's the him here? Jesus. Now this is the wonderful thing about grace. Because Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. He had no sin in his life. He's the only one qualified. The only one who fulfilled the law perfectly. Every one of us, we've sinned and messed up. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of like sheep have gone astray, each to his own ways." So every one of us in here, including myself, guess what? We're not perfect. I know that shocks some of you. What? You mean I'm not perfect? My mom thinks I'm perfect. Your mom's wrong. You're not. Right? None of us are perfect. None of us are sinless, but there is one who is sinless. There is one who is perfect. His name is who? Jesus. Now, what the Bible says and what's amazing about grace is that while he was on the cross, he became sin. He did not sin, but he became sin on our behalf. What's that mean? He took our sin. He took our penalty. He took our payment. We had a debt. We had committed a crime, and the judge had found us guilty. And there was a sentence that we have to carry out, and that sentence is death and separation from God. Jesus stepped in and says, I will do the time for this criminal. He died in our place. We deserve to die. We deserved separation from God because we violated God's law. I violated God's law. God said, thou shalt not, and Grant said, I think I will. And so I'm guilty before a holy God. I cannot stand in front of a holy God and think that I'm going to get in heaven because I'm a good person. Because here's what I do, and here's what many of you all do, because if you're here, it means you're probably from Kentucky, except for some of you, and you transplanted somewhere else. But if you're from Kentucky, you got this religion. It's called the good old boy religion. And here's what you do. You compare yourself to somebody else. And you think, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Now, guess who's the so-and-so? It's always somebody more rotten than you. Right? You always think of somebody that's worse than you. And you say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. If they're getting into heaven, surely I'm getting into heaven. Well, how do you know they're getting into heaven? How do you know they love Jesus? How do you know that they're saved? You don't. If you're going to compare yourself to anyone, guess who you need to compare yourself to? Jesus. You need to say, well, now, am I as good as Jesus? And if your answer is yes, wow. I don't know about you. Yeah, get a second opinion. Because when you compare yourself to Jesus, he's here and you're down below the stage, right? So we're not getting in by our good efforts. You're not getting in by your good deeds. You're not getting in because, you know, you don't drink that much or you don't cuss that much and, you know, you buy your wife flowers on Valentine's Day. That's not getting you into heaven. What's getting you into heaven is when you realize that you are a sinner in desperate need of grace, and that you trust that the one who died for you on the cross took your place, and you submit to him and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I come to you desperate. And I believe that you died for me, that you rose again, and that you are the King of all kings, Lord of all lords. I repent of my sin. I change my mind about the way I've been living, and I turn and trust and follow you. And the Bible says, then we are saved. It's grace. It's a story of hope. It's a story of triumph. It's a story of grace. Story of truth. This is a funny word today, truth, because our culture doesn't believe in truth. But it's true, nonetheless. What I want you to realize today is that the Easter story, it's not made up. It's not fiction, it's reality. It's not mystical, it's historical. Jesus really lived. He really died. And he really rose again. It's not some superficial faith. It's not a bunch of us getting in here and ooh and looking at the lights and looking at our belly buttons and getting in one with ourselves. No, it's about a real God who came to a real earth and he went to a real cross and he was placed in a real tomb and he really rose again on the third day. Let's look at this scripture about truth. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start with verse 1 and we'll read down. It says, and this is Paul, he's writing to the Corinthians. He says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you. He says, I want you to know about this gospel. I want to remind you about the gospel. And we talked about the gospel last week. The gospel means what? Good news. And who is the good news? Jesus. So the gospel is who? Jesus. He says, I want to make sure that you know this about the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have what? Received, in which also you stand. What do we stand on for our salvation? Jesus. If we get off course on anything else, you're on dangerous ground. Here's what he says in verse 2. By which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What he's saying here is Jesus is your only hope. So in life, don't start adding to what Jesus has done. It's not Jesus and this and Jesus and that. It's Jesus. And once you stop believing and placing your faith fully on the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're on dangerous ground. There's no hope for you because our hope is found in one place, Jesus. His cross, his resurrection, it's him. That's where our salvation lies. That's where our hope lies. That's where the triumph is. That's where the grace is. And that's where the truth is found. He says, verse 3, for I deliver to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And oh, if I had my Jacqueline, if I had all the little Awana kids up here today, just about every single one of them would know this verse. For Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Goes on, verse 4. And that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. What's the gospel that Paul laid down? What's the gospel that he preached? That Jesus died according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he died and was buried and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. Sorry. I'm up here like my pastor. For those of you who are at the dedication and sat close, you know what that means. Next one. Now watch what he says. And that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep, meaning some have died. He appeared to Peter, to the 12, and to over 500 people. This is not made up. This is a story that really happened. Jesus really rose from the dead, and he had a body. People touched him. He ate fish. Everybody said amen. Aren't you glad that we go in bed to eat in our resurrected bodies? Good news. It's real. It's real. It's more real than this life, even, if we can imagine that. He's alive. He appeared. And then he says, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me also. That's Paul. What I want you to know today is that there's a lot of people who claim to be intelligent who deny the reality of the truth of the hope that we believe in, the triumph of Christ, his grace. And they'll mock and they'll ridicule and they'll put it down, But here's what you need to know. The story of Jesus, it's true. It's true. We're not a bunch of delusional people. We are people who have realized that we can't save ourselves, that we need Christ, that His story is true, He is God, and He has come to bring us hope through His triumph by grace through His truth, which makes me come to the last point. And this is really what will make Easter come alive. It's not just a story of these things, but it's also a story for something. It's also a story for something. It's not just a story of, but it's a story for. And it's a story for you. It's a story for you. Second Corinthians 5, verse 21. And then we'll look at verse 6, 1 through 2. We looked at this verse once. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on what? Our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in who? In Him, which is Christ. Now look at this next verse. Look at verse 6. And working together with Him, Jesus, we also urge you, Paul says, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in what? Vain. Now look at verse 2. Don't miss this. For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I've got good news for you today. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, today, this Easter needs to be a story for you. It can be a story for you. You can receive hope. You can have hope today in a hopeless world because Jesus is triumphant. He is the King. He lived, He died, He what? He rose again. We are saved by His grace and His truth. And today, guess what? He calls to you. He calls to you. If you had your head bowed and eyes closed, let's stand up. Turn it. If you had your head, I just want you to hear from the Lord this morning. Today, this morning, you might be thinking, I don't know. I don't know about all this. I don't know about this hope stuff. My life seems pretty hopeless. I want you to know that God is real and that He loves you today and He's speaking. So today, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know what He's doing? He's calling you. He's calling you to repent. He's calling you to change your mind. He's calling you to leave your life of sin and say, you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. My life is hopeless. I'm going to lay it down today, and I'm going to receive grace today. Some of you, you honestly think you're going to work your way to heaven, and you're not. Please let me help you save yourself a life of frustration. You'll not get to heaven on your own. You need Christ. Some of you, you've been trying to be good. You've been trying to be better, and you make a vow. Well, I'm going to straighten up my life today, and then 3 days later, you don't. And you think, well, it's hopeless. That's because you can't straighten your life up. Jesus can straighten your life up. So today, there's hope. There is triumph in Christ at the cross and the resurrection. There is grace that flows out today and extends to you. That is the truth of God's word, and it is for you. Jesus, may we respond the way that you would want us to respond. Those who do not know you, God, we ask that you would place it upon them, the desire and the urge and the ability to come forward and say, I need to trust in Christ. Would they come today? Families, we just might need to pray together. Maybe you just need to pray together as a Christian. Maybe you got some folks that you want to pray for. Whatever it is, would you allow God to do His work in your life? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. Let's respond.